Hey guys, welcome back to Reading with Ren. On today's podcast, I'm going to be having a very special guest. We are going to be dissecting different writing styles and processes. So let's patch her through. Her name's Deanna.
Hey, finally got it to work.
Hello.
What's up?
Nothing. I'm just really excited. I figured out how to do this. This was a very complicated thingy-bobber.
Well, I was listening to your podcast the other time with, I was listening to it about, like, who are you and stuff? Like, who am I? And I thought it was very, very true. Everything, you know, about, like,
how. Did you ask yourself, who am I?
Yeah, and then I realized that, like, you know, there's, like, so many different versions of yourself out there because, like, so many different people have a different perspective on who they see you as. So it's, like, how do you perceive yourself to be that person to different people? Because no matter how much you try to, like, you know, hide it, you do change your personality, kind of. Not your personality, but how you act around different
your people. Your mannerisms.
Yeah. Like, if someone is being more positive or more negative, or, you know, like, you'll kind of alter your, alter your emotions and alter your actions to, like, to be in that scenery and in that setting with that person. So I found it very interesting because, like, you know, there's so many different people out there who see you as a different person than who you think you are and then who other people think that you are. And it's just like this huge multiverse. And it's just like, I try my best to come off as the same person and to try and come off as someone who I think I am. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. But people will always take your actions and perceive them in their own way.
Exactly.
You know, like, people will always remember what you said in their own way. Like,
exactly.
Like, they can take your words and everything and twist, and, like, a week later, they're like, oh, no, she said this. And, well, that's not what I said.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, like, to you, something could be, like, you know, just a casual conversation, and it's not a big deal. But then, like, to other people, it could be something that, like, just they sit and think and dwell on it or ponder on it, or it affects them or it doesn't affect them at all and it affects you, you know? So it's, like, very different. And I think that who you are and how you perceive yourself is a very interesting topic.
Definitely. Well, because at the end of the day, who you are is literally between you and, you know, whatever God that you pray to. Like, whatever people assume about you or think about you, those are just their opinions.
Yeah.
I think what we struggle with is we take those people's opinions and we let it change who we are at our very core, because we're like, oh, you know, it's like that whole concept. When you hear something enough times, you start to believe it. It's that whole idea. When people treat you a certain way or perceive what you're doing in a certain way, eventually you do start to act that way, especially around those people.
Exactly. And if it's, like, something that's being repeated a lot, like how you act and how people treat you, then it's something that you do adapt to yourself as and how you see yourself. So the way, you know, like, if you are getting, like, a common, like, feedback from someone that's, like, not good, or it is good, or someone keeps complimenting, you know, like, your hair, then you start to see yourself as someone with, like, nicer hair. Do you know what I mean? Except for, like, the personality side, like, it can be different. Like, if someone says, like, you know, you're very an empathetic person, and, like, more people keep telling you that, then you're gonna start believing, like, you know, I'm an empathetic person. Or it could also go in a negative way, which I think is not a good thing. That's where some people get, like, caught up in other people's thoughts and, like, other people's inputs, and it alters themselves without them knowing it, you know.
Definitely. But what I wanted to talk to you about today is you are a fellow writer and you are a fellow English major.
Yes,
so I wanted to ask you about your writing process. Like, would you have time to write?
No, I don't have.
But you do come up with a lot of ideas, though.
I do. I have so many ideas and I just don't, you know, like ignite the, like, I have the flame ignited, I just don't, like, turn it into that, like, fire, you know what I mean? I have so many.
Do you write them down?
I write them down, or I remember them if they're really, really good, you know what I mean? or but it's just not something that I can pursue for a very long time, only because I'm so busy. In the summertime, I wrote a lot. It's just one thing that I had trouble with in my writing process is continuing my ideas. You know what I mean? When you have this like grand idea and you think that it's fine and you think you can write a whole book about it or a whole like short story or anything, and then it turns out like, you know, you're just
rambling. But you get two pages in and it just fizzles
and you're like, oh, like a pile this can't dust. Be a story.
No, I feel that on a deep and personal level. Really.
So I was just wondering, you know, how do you like know what in it, how an idea, like how do you know that your idea is something that can be developed into something big, because I know that you have completed a couple books.
Honestly, for me, I feel like I'm, I don't know what the right word is. I don't know if it's chameleon or malleable. I don't know. But I'm very, all I need is a base idea and I can morph it into something. Whether it will be good or not, that's up to the reader's discretion. But like, I can write a 200 something page story on a very, very small idea. It may not be the best story because it's me pulling a lot of straws out of random places trying to find ideas to grasp onto, but I can turn a story, I can create a story from anything really. But the way that I know it's a really good idea is honestly if I just cannot stop talking about it or seeing it in everything that I do.
That's a really good sign, because if you're not doing that, then why are you writing? You know what I mean?
Exactly. If I'm consistently talking about this idea that pops into my head, I know it's good, and I know I just have to keep digging and digging and digging until an epiphany happens.
Yeah, and I've noticed that a lot in other fellow English majors who find ways to keep their grades up and do write books.
Yeah.
They talk to me about the books that they're writing, and they just seem so passionate about it. And then when it would have been just me saying, like, oh, what's your book about? You know, just a simple two-minute question, they end up going on for what they thought would have been half a minute, but, you know, like, going on for minutes and minutes and minutes and, like, a whole half. Like an hour definitely. Just talking about their book, and that's how you know like they're passionate about what they're doing. They're gonna get this book done, they're gonna sit down and they're gonna just get it done, you know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. If you have passion, if honestly if you just are so excited to talk about it, then you know it's good, because you know you can write 60,000 plus words if you are just consistently talking about it.
One thing that I really find in like if I write something, if I know that I'm really, really passionate about it, it's in the characters. I feel like the thing that's so magical about like fictional writing is that you create your own characters, whether they're put in different scenes or settings or plots or different like story lines or anything. As long as you have a good dynamic between your characters, I feel like that's like one of the best things, because you know when you're watching a show or whatever, or you're reading a book, the one thing that people always talk about are the characters, you know what I mean?
Because that's who we relate to as readers. I mean, really all writers are readers. That's how everyone, I mean, that's how you get started on writing. You read an amazing story and you're so drawn in that you just want to write your own. That's how you connect with the characters. The book ends and you're just like, no, I just need to read more about, you know, Clary. I need to find out what Clary's doing now. But not to say that I don't plan a lot. I plan the crap out of my books. I will sit there and spend an entire day figuring out one character, all the way down to her mannerisms.
That's like, how you know you have a good character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, her nervous twitches and, you know, the her favorite food and the stuff that people do.
Like
that
little quirks, little things.
I'll spend an entire day on one character.
Yeah, and how you know you have a good character is when it's just so likable and something you can continue talking about. Like, you know, you've read, like, Wuthering Heights, right, obviously? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this is a really great book to compare things with. Every single person, when you're talking about a character, for some reason, you fall in love with them. You know what I mean? Like, characters like Draco Malfoy and and Heathcliff, like those hateable characters, but you for some reason still like love them and want to read more and want to delve into their characters. Villains. That's because of their character development, like how you read them, how you're watching them like grow up to be into a character. Like the more connectivity they have to real life people,
and definitely
becoming real people, that's what makes a character in writing just so lovable, because it's something that's relatable. It's something not relatable as in like, oh my god, I'm the same way, but just like, that's a real person to me in my mind. That's how I read this book. That's how I feel a deep connection with this person.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you have to be able to relate to a character on some in some way, shape, or form, whether they're evil or a hero or even a very small role. And that's why people do fall in love with evil characters most of the time, is because it's the human condition. We just want to understand. We want to understand why that person is doing what they're doing. You know, what is the purpose of what they're, you know, you just want to be able to put yourself in that person's shoes. And then once you understand what they think and how they feel, that's when you start to sympathize and fall in love. And
especially when when you read so much about a character, then you like feel like you know them very well.
Definitely. Would you say that character development is more important than world building, or would you say the other way around?
I would say character development is more important, only because world building, it has its details, but it also has so many like exceptions, and there's so many different things when you're writing it where it's like, you know, it's hard to fit, you know, sometimes it's hard to fit things into one place. Sometimes you have to build the world dependent on the characters, but I don't think that there's ever a possibility where you'd have to actually build a character dependent on the world. You know what I mean? Unless that's what you're going for. Definitely. Like the Moors and Heathcliff, going back to Wuthering Heights and comparing that, like the Moors and Heathcliff are kind of symbolism, and like they go with each other because the Moors are like, you know, they connect with that character. That's like the weird, eerie type vibe. But when you're creating a character, you don't go, okay, but what about this world should I add into this character? Like, what about this, you know? It's always you build the characters first, and you create a dynamic between different things, like within the characters and how they interact with each other. And like, you know, the MCU, how like different characters are always intermingling and everything. They can go from like Wakanda to like planets and in space and like boons on Titan, and they can still have that same, those same character traits. Like,
Acknowledgement. Quick acknowledgement. R.I.P. Stan Lee.
I know.
That and that was so sad.
That was the saddest thing. You know, both him and Steve Ditko, 2018.
Yeah.
Same year.
Yep. You know what the sad thing is, too, is I mean, you don't think about death generally. That's not something people don't imagine other people's deaths. But I just find it, like, in my mind, he was, like, eternal. Like, I couldn't. I couldn't even fathom his death.
I know what I mean. Especially like they keep putting him in movies. Like, this guy is forever, man. He just wrote comics and now he's in their movies. Yeah. Like, they made it feel infinite. You know what I mean?
I mean, he was 95 and still, you know, showing up in these
still
movies.
Making like, jokes.
It's hard to imagine that he. But yeah, so I just wanted to throw a quick shout out to him. And then my other question, actually going back to world building and character development, which would you say is the more difficult task?
World building. Character development is something when you grow up, you see people all around you, and you take in each personality type, you take in each different, it's not stereotypical, you know what I mean? You're not, when you think of a character, there's nothing stereotypical about that. If you're looking at people the right way, then you know that you're not idolizing them as like, or not idolizing, like putting one label on them, like, oh, as that's the type of person who's this type of person. If you're saying type of person, then you're like, you're not thinking of their character the right way. When you're character building, that's like an easy thing for writers, especially English majors who analyze characters, who grow up like analyzing other people around them in order to write books. When you're thinking of a of world building, it's harder because you probably most likely only grew up in one world.
And well, especially
read about especially one type
in a
of
fantasy
world.
Setting, because if you're just writing a book basing it off of where you live in California, then that's a little bit easier because you know the streets, you know what shortcut you need to take to get to a certain destination. Whereas in a fantasy world, all of
that's something you're not
to build from the ground up.
That's something you're literally creating on the spot within like 10 minutes you're brainstorming. But then when you're thinking of a character, that's something that you know more about. That's something you're more familiar about. You've interacted with more people. You know what you're doing in that sense.
I mean, I could tell you for the novel that I'm working on right now, the world build, the character development, so easy. I spent like maybe... I mean, I put a lot into my characters, though, so I spent a good day on each character, but the world building, that aspect is taking me much longer, because, like, down to the creatures that are in it, down to where the rivers are, and what kind of animals live here, and, you know, what kind of environment, like, the climate, what's the climate like? Are there a lot of trees?
Not to bash on world building, though, because, like, once you do have a good idea for world building, then when you describe it, it's so much more fun than describing characters.
World build, it's probably my favorite part of writing, just because I enjoy creating. Yeah. Like, when you look at J.K. Rowling, like, where that all came from her mind. That's like, literally came from her mind.
Yeah, because, like, when you're creating a character, it's something that everybody does and you know it for all your life. But when you're creating a different world, that's something you're introducing within, like, a snap. Yeah. Like, this is what I think of in my mind. This is what I'm putting out there. Nobody else has thought of this.
You're literally creating an entire universe for your reader to fall into and discover. Like, it amazes me because... I mean, I know everything comes from a grain of truth. Everything comes from something that you've experienced, whatever. But the way that you map it and the way that you form it, that all comes from inside you. So it's like, I was thinking, I saw a picture on my book Instagram of the Harry Potter books. And it popped into my head today. I was like, it still amazes me. Even the Shadowhunter books, that world is crazy too. Like, those names, Shadowhunters, the different names she has for demons, like, that all came from her head.
That's why those fantasy novels always do so well, because it's something that people, like, when you actually get into the mind of someone else's mind, like, you're going into someone else's mind, you're exploring the world that they created and built, it feels like, you know, magical, because it's something that doesn't, you know, you can't just walk into a new world and feel that. Like, a lot of people take trips to a new place and then they figure out, oh, it's just like Earth is the same thing, you know, it's all not fantasy.
And it may be cliche. They read a book. It may be cliche, like, the way, like, the whole base idea of all these fantasy novels are, there's a heroine who's overcoming a difficult trial in her life, and, you know, obviously she ends up the winner in the end. It sounds like a cliche when you strip away all that extra stuff and you just look at the base concept. But the thing that makes readers connect fantasy books are the worlds that they build and the characters that they create. Like, they're taking such a simple concept of this hero saves the day to just creating amazing, like, 5-6 book series out of it.
I could tell you so many cliche novels where it's just all the cliche, oh, character, you know, like, these characters are in love with this character, but there's a love triangle, but whatever. But the way that the author takes on that different world and creates it through imagery and through connect and like care, like, the way that they do that on their own, in their own way, that's what makes a book its own book.
Yeah, you can't, no matter how not cliche being able you to have it done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's all very, it's difficult, though. Not to say that this stuff comes easy. Like, it's hard. It takes work.
But I feel like once you come up with it, like, because one thing that I struggle with is writing characters. Mm-hmm. When I'm introducing a character, that's something I always get writer's block on, because I don't know how to make it not cliche.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to make it, you know, very in-depth, where a person's like, yep, I can imagine that person while I'm reading this book.
I'll tell you.
But when I create a world, it's different.
Yeah, like, you know, with characters, I'll tell you what I do. I write down the character's name. I write down the character's birthday and their very base looks, like what color eyes, what color hair, the build, you know, that stuff. And then after I write that down, I get into her style or his style. What kind of clothes do they like to wear? What is the image that they're trying to portray? And then after I do that, I literally just make a list of quirks. I make a list of, this is her favorite food, this is her favorite color. She hates when people bite their fingernails. She hates when people chew loudly. Like, I write down all those little quirks, and then I start to ask myself, what would that character do in this situation? How would my character handle her? How would, let's say, Freya, that's the one in my new novel, how would Freya handle it if her brother died? Or, like, I start to ask questions, and then I answer it as if I'm the character, and that's how I go, and that's how I build her mannerisms, her personality, her, all that stuff. I literally just ask myself a bunch of questions.
Yeah, I feel like I do something along those lines, not as in, like, depth with, like, different scenarios, but I do list things about that character that I do want to see, falling through in the future, chapters. But what I have a hard time writing about is actually introducing the character and doing the imagery, you know, like, writing the actual imagery where it's like, this character walked in, you know what I mean? How do I go about, like, writing those things? Because when I think of a world, then I'm so proud of it. I'm like, yeah, you know, I got this. Mm-hmm. Writing about details in the scenery is something that comes so easily and so, like, effortlessly for me. Not flawless. I have a lot of flaws in my writing, but, like, effortlessly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was about to say flawless. Effortlessly, it just comes, like, without me even thinking of it. It's on the page. It mm-hmm. like has to come with my writing. But when I'm trying to introduce characters, I get awkward, and I'm like, how do I do this?
It's never easy, because it's like, how do I tell the reader that my character has blue hair, or sorry, that my character has blue eyes, blonde hair, without saying Freya has blue, like, it's hard.
That's all. I know.
No, it's really so, it is overdone. It's hard. It's hard.
It's so overdone. Because you see all these characters in books, and they're like, oh, this character has this, this, this. But it's like, how do I do that on my own?
Yeah, that's why I think the best way to do it, I mean, there's the typical scenes. I've read these scenes before, and I think it's difficult to write them the right way, because it might come off very jaggedy. But if you can write it the right way, then it works. Is you do a character getting ready for a party or an event, and you're just, she's looking at herself in the mirror. That moment of, you know, like, I'm staring at myself, seeing the way that my hair is falling down my shoulders, and the way the shirt is too tight in one area and not tight in the other. Like, if you do kind of a scene like that, it just depends how you write it. But what I do is I used to write in first person a lot. I think introducing your character's looks in first person is a lot more difficult, because it's I, and it's very hard to be like, my hair is this, my eyes are that, without it sounding so childish.
I'm not really a fan of first person writing anymore.
I'm not a fan of it. The book that I'm publishing now is in first person, and it was very hard to write. And
sometimes it just works for some books, though.
I think first person works for a more juvenile type read. I think it's less young adult, and it's almost a little bit middle grade, in my opinion. Not to say it's bad, because I've read some first person books that are very well written.
Yeah, but sometimes just it just fits. Like, stream of conscious writing works sometimes.
Yeah.
For the type of book you're writing. Like, what's that one that everybody learns in school? The one, Catcher in the Rye?
Oh, yeah.
Is that it? With Holden? Like, that character, stream of conscious writing, was that in first person or third person?
No, I think that one was in third person.
Yeah, see, sometimes it just works, like, different scenarios when you're doing that.
No, definitely.
But then I read another book just like that. I read another book just like The Bell Jar. Mm-hmm. That one was in first person, and it was the same thing, stream of conscious, and it was like the same thing, but it just worked for that character, and it worked for the writing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. See, it works sometimes. I find it a lot easier to introduce my characters and to write about my characters in third person, though. I think it's a lot easier to describe a character's looks in third person, too, because you're not saying my hair, you're not sounding conceited, you know what I mean? You're saying her hair fell.
Especially introducing other characters, secondary characters. It's hard when it's in first person, because it's like, how do you know that's what, you know, like, it's just all like, how do you introduce a character without making the character who's in first person seem conceited? or no, not conceited, but like observant, like way too observant for her character type or his character type. You know what I mean? Like that character is not the type of person who actually looks at someone and notices their exact height and their weight. And
yeah, I think definitely with first person, it's just very hard not to come off as conceited. Third person is definitely a lot easier. I sent you the snippet of my novel. It's so much easier to talk about, to write even, and even for your writing to come off as smoothly in third person. It's just a lot easier to build the paragraphs and to build the sentence structure.
Especially when it's doing like different, when you're writing different types of scenes where it's like sometimes you need these characters in this scene, sometimes you need a bird's eye view in this scene, sometimes you know
you can even follow the same character the whole way through and still write third person. Like you don't have to do different points of view, but it's just, I don't know, I find third person as a little, has a little bit more depth. You can explore a lot more in third person than you can in first.
Yeah, there's much more observation that goes with a third person.
Yeah, have you ever, have you ever had a book idea so amazing and so just like, oh, you love it,
and then you don't remember to write it down?
No, that's not what I was going with, but that too.
That's what I was going, because it triggers me so much.
I'm thinking, because you're also, I know you have a passion for writing, because we used to send each other, like, we used to have a writer's guild group chat. I think we still do. We just don't talk in it anymore.
We still do. We just don't use it anymore because we all grew up and we don't write.
But we used to literally just send each other book ideas, or we used to have one book idea and just, you know, talk about it and try to help each other form it. So what do you...
Yeah, last time you came to visit us, we just sat, like, remember we just sat at the Tim Hortons all night? It was dark out and we had our laptops out and we were writing our book ideas.
Yeah, I remember that. We came up with a really weird one that day. I don't remember what it was, but it was your sister. She's a little bit morbid. It was a little bit weird. I was gonna say, have you ever had a book idea so powerful like that that you've wanted to just give up your time to write it? Like, have you ever done that? Or are you always...
You want to live in that world and just explore it and go into every single little detail and, like, this is what's going to happen in this time and this is what's going to happen in that time. And I know what I want to do, and you just want to go in, but you just don't have the time.
Yeah. So what do you do with yourself then when you have all those ideas coming through but you don't have time? Because I know for me, if I don't expel my creativity in some way, shape, or form, whether it's making a candle, writing a book, if I don't get rid of my creative energy, I honestly feel like I might go insane. Like, I feel like it just bounces around.
Get rid of your creative energy. Well, when I'm writing, when I need to write it down, I have a journal for that. You know, when you came and we did these journals and we decorated them, right? I have, like, the quote on it. The quote on it is, "No matter what people tell you, words and ideas can change the world." Oh, from Robert Downey Jr. May he rest in peace as well. This is a very depressing podcast, but or Robin Williams.
Yeah, Robin Williams. I was like, Robert Downey Jr. is very much alive. But I knew what you meant.
Hey. I was thinking about Marvel because we talked about that too. That's depressing as well. The last Avengers movie is coming out. I have so many sticky notes sticking out, like, this book idea, this is the name of this book, and I never show them to anyone, but, like, they're just all a bunch of book ideas that later on, if I come back to, I'll go in and I'll write about them. Like, one of them I have this book idea where I wanted to, like, go in and do, like, you know, one of those 13 Reasons Why things where it's, like, each chapter is about a character.
Yeah,
so I literally wrote, like, a bunch of pages where it's, like, this is what this chapter is going to be like. And I did, like, bullet point idea writing. And I just, like, went in, like, this is going to happen and this is going to happen in this person's point of view. And then I went into the next page for the next character in the next chapter. And you know what I mean? I just write it all down.
Do you have much time to, like, read anymore?
No.
Oh,
I don't. I really don't. I've been trying to. I just picked up books more, and I've been, like, because I go early to my classes, and I wait outside to, like, get the seats, right? So I try my best to bring books with me, but it's just so awkward for me to read in public. And if I am reading in my room or like in like wherever room in my house, if I'm reading, it's just so hard to keep my focus on the book because I know I have so many things. Even if my assignment isn't due for another 2 weeks, if it's not done, I know I have to do it, and I know I shouldn't be using my time to do that.
I have to pencil everything into my calendar because I work full time now, and now I just went back to school to go get us to like to do a certificate course. So between those two things, I'm literally so like I'm stretched thin. And then between managing my candle business and publishing my book and writing my new book, I'm in the same boat. I literally have to pencil everything into my calendar. Otherwise, I won't get anything done.
I don't even get time to pencil that shit into my calendar. I've got so much too going on. It's not the same things. Of course, it's not as stressful because I'm younger, but it's still like time-wise.
Yeah. I mean, everyone has
I just don't have the time.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I literally, yeah, my average, yeah, like this is what my Tuesday is. I go to work 8 to 5. From 6 to 9:30, I have my class. So from and then I'm stuck in traffic literally from 5 all the way until like 6:15. I get to my class late every Tuesday and Thursday. And then,
oh God.
Yeah. And then it ends at 9:30. By the time I get home, it's 10 p.m. And then when I get home, I have to read for at least an hour every day. And I have to write for at least an hour every day. Cause I found that if I start to give myself leeway, like I'm not going to read or write Tuesdays and Thursdays, it gives me room to be lazier the rest of the week. Well, oh, I'm just not going to read or write this day because I'm really tired from class. So I'm just going to go home and sleep. So I made a promise to myself that I'm not going to give myself leeway, and I'm going to make the time to read or write for at least an hour each day, whether it be on like my lunch break or my break at class. Like I make sure that I pencil it in.
But last year I took a writer's craft course in high school. And it was like every single time we walked into that class, it was every day. It was daily because it's high school. Every time we walked in, we had to make sure that we spent 5 minutes writing about some random topic that someone put on the board. And she would say, like, if you don't have anything to write about, just write about something else, not about the topic on the board. But just as long as you're writing for 5 minutes, if you're done early, if you write like a short haiku, whether or you write until like I call out pens drop, like you just have to be sitting there, something has to be on that paper, you know what I mean? So it was like every single day, whether or not we liked it, we had to do it, and it was really, really good. It really got me into that mindset where I get my creative juices flowing. And the days that I did not write, the days that I was like, I'm too tired for this, I'm not gonna write, those are the days I found myself not working in class. It's a writer's craft course, I had to write. Those are the days I found myself not writing. But the days that I did find myself writing the 5 minute writing daily thing, then I was like, yeah, I'm gonna sit here, I'm gonna write, and I'm gonna finish my work.
Yeah. Here's my last question, and then we're gonna bid adieu. Why do you think we love writing?
Honestly, I don't think it's why we love writing. I think it's why we continue to love writing. Because loving writing is something that you either get it or you don't. You know what I mean? And like, even people who go in and they aren't English majors, they go in and they do something else, science or engineering or anything else. When you pick up that like love for writing, it's not something that you go into, even if it's not your career or your plan A, it's something that you enjoy because you love doing it. English majors don't go in without having a passion and loving it beforehand, you know? So it's something that you go into and you love, and it's something that you can drop it. Yeah. Like if you do get a passion for something, you can drop it. I don't think it's more of a question of why do we love writing? I think it's why do we continue to write, you know?
Yeah,
because loving something is up to the person, but continuing something that you love is someone that you persevere to be and someone that you continue to be, whether or not who you became in the first place.
Yeah, makes sense. What do you think on that? Well, I can say that the reason that I love to write is I agree. I think it
I think for certain people, it's just a part of who you are. But I know the reason that I love to write, or the reason I continue to write, is because I truly enjoy building something from nothing. Like, I enjoy having this random thought in my head and wondering where I can take that thought. And really, I mean, everyone starts out as a reader. Like, I just loved immersing myself in someone else's world and following.
And some people can't do it. Yeah, some people can't sit there and read. So it's a gift, honestly, to be able to sit there and enjoy that for yourself and be able to understand what that person is doing and be able to learn from that and then adapt it to and apply it to your own writing.
Oh, definitely. You know what I mean? I agree. Like, I enjoy immersing myself into someone's world and following that character through all the difficult things that they're going through. And I enjoy creating it just as much as I love reading it.
It's another thing, I don't really know how to put my thoughts into words. I'm a person who can't express my thoughts very well.
Oh, girl.
Like, my intentions will, you know, my intentions will come in, like, and then, like, my what I say is completely different.
Oh, yeah.
I have so when I write, it gives me the time. It gives me the time to get rid of that anxiety and to actually sit there and put my thoughts into words in a way that I'm comfortable with, in a way that that's what I mean, that's what I'm going to write, that's what my thoughts are.
It's like an escape because of all the stuff that you're going through in your life, when you take the time and you sit down and you create this story that is loved by you and your peers, like, that's your moment to just throw everything else out of your mind and just focus on this person, on this character's journey. And, and in a sense, you're following that character's journey because that character came from something inside of you that needed to come out.
And you are reading it in the way that that writer intended you to. And that's something that's so beautiful that you can only inflict with the power of being able to create.
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
it was very lovely to have you, Deanna. Thank you for joining me on my podcast.
Thank you so much, Renna. I feel so welcomed on this podcast. Such a journey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you'll be back. Trust me. You'll be back.
Hopefully, you know, not to, you know, expose your YouTube channel, but hopefully on there, too, you know, I'll make an appearance.
Oh, maybe. Maybe when I come. Maybe next time I visit you guys.
Maybe next time.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening and stay tuned for next week's topic. Bye.
Bye.